This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Wednesday, May 5th, 2021. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, the spike protein. We've heard a lot about that term a lot over the past year, but it turns out we haven't known as much about it as we thought we did. Researchers at the Salk Institute on Friday published new research in a peer-reviewed journal showing that the spike protein on the surface of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, that's the virus causing the COVID-19 pandemic, actually damages cells. Now, previously, it was thought that the spike protein allowed it simply to bind with human cells, sort of acting like a key so that the virus could get inside the cell and then hijack the replication system so it could make copies of itself, burst the cell, and go forth to conquest and to conquer. Turns out that's not the case. The spike protein itself attacks the vascular system at the cellular level and damages those cells, which confirms that COVID-19 is not mainly a respiratory disease, as we've been told. It is primarily a vascular disease. It attacks the circulatory system. This is new, and it's a big deal, because it helps explain a number of seemingly unconnected and sometimes dangerous complications from COVID-19. It's a good news, bad news thing. The good news is that this opens up lines of research that may result in more effective therapies for COVID-19 patients. On the other hand, three of the main vaccines available to us in the West, Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, stimulate the body into producing the spike protein so that our immune systems will then generate antibodies to the spike protein and then recognize an actual virus covered with spike proteins once it enters the body. And the immune system can then, you know, ambush it and take it out before it does any damage. The problem is the spike protein itself is causing damage. And the problem is now we've got tens of millions of people who've been vaccinated with these vaccines that are prompting their bodies to create these spike proteins. Now, what does that mean long term? Is there harm from the spike protein floating around in the bloodstream without the virus present? We don't know. But that's kind of the point. We don't know. These vaccines have been authorized under emergency use provisions because they haven't done any long-term testing. They couldn't because they were rushed into production. These are the first mRNA vaccines that have ever been put out there. That's the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. The AstraZeneca vaccine uses an adenovirus with a double-stranded DNA inside, but they all do the same thing. Tricks the body into producing the spike protein so that our immune systems will then create the antibodies. No long-term data on the potential side effects. Things like this, because again, this research was only published last Friday. Things like this are why Sharon and I have been reluctant, and now I would say resistant, to getting the vaccine, because we don't have long-term side effect data, because these things have not been around long enough. They had not been. Essentially, what's going on right now under the emergency use authorization is a wide-scale human trial. And I'm just not willing to be one of the volunteers. Just pray that those who have been vaccinated will not find 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road that there are long-term consequences for these vaccines. Topic number 4, teach your children well. That is the struggle in a number of places around these United States. Over the weekend, voters in a suburb north of Dallas elected 5 candidates in an election who oppose anti-racism, which is just a clever term that rebrands good old-fashioned racism, judging other people on the color of their skin. They rejected the local school board's attempt to create a radical curriculum based on critical race theory, the idea that America is fundamentally evil because it's founded on principles that are based on the idea that that the white race is superior to all others. And so everything in our society, down to the way we teach our children, down to the scientific method, must be rejected because it all comes from Caucasians. Well, NBC News, interestingly enough, characterized these races as bitterly divided, even though the votes in these 5 races generally went 2-1 in favor of the candidates who rejected the critical race theory teaching. The proposal in the Southlake School District called for mandating cultural sensitivity training from enrollment through graduation. establishing, and I quote now, a systemic process for consistently tracking and reporting microaggressions and incidents of discrimination, and hiring a director of equity and inclusion and an annual salary of $125,000. So as a result, conservatives who rejected the critical race theory teaching picked up 2 school board seats, 2 city council seats, and the mayor's office. And the smallest margin of victory in those 5 races was 36 percentage points. Not exactly bitterly divided there. NBC, by the way, describing opponents of critical race theory as either conservative or as white, whereas those who supported CRT were just described as pro-diversity. But this battle is not limited to one school district in Texas. As I said, this is nationwide. In Illinois, 2 teachers in the Oak Park River Forest School District caught on a hot mic on a Zoom call just before a school board meeting, bragging about how they're teaching their children Marxist economic theories and how they can reorganize America along socialist lines. In Tennessee, Republican state representatives have advanced legislation that would bar teaching critical race theory in schools. In Oklahoma, Governor Kevin Stitt has been asked by the Tulsa Race Massacre Centennial Commission to veto a similar bill passed by the Oklahoma legislature that would prohibit teaching critical race theory in schools. Again, this is probably being argued and debated in your school district. If you have children or grandchildren in school, it would behoove you to find out what is going on regarding this kind of teaching, because it's being pushed from the federal government, the Department of Education, and the Biden administration, and even local districts here in our little rural corner of the Ozarks being impacted by these radical teachings. A group of Republican senators, by the way, led by Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, wrote to President Biden's Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, arguing that a proposed rule promoting education programs based on critical race theory is, in his words, divisive nonsense. Topic number 3, from race to gender now. Republican lawmakers in Kansas Monday failed to override a veto by Democratic Governor Laura Kelly of a proposed transgender sports ban. This will allow young men who say they identify as girls to compete against girls in school athletics. Kelly vetoed the bill that passed both state houses in April. The Senate failed to override her veto by a single vote. Other states, Idaho, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, West Virginia, have all enacted similar laws. Florida has passed one. It's gone to Governor Ron DeSantis for his signature. In South Dakota, the legislature passed the bill, vetoed by Governor Kristi Noem, but she did issue an executive order banning transgender athletes. Now, here in the Ozarks, in fact, very near here, College of the Ozarks, a private Christian college, is taking the Biden administration to court over a housing and urban development directive that it claims would force the school and others like it to violate their religious beliefs and put men in dormitories with women, house men with female roommates. On February 11th, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development issued a directive prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity in housing. This is part of trying to comply with President Biden's executive order that he issued on his first day in office. The Alliance Defending Freedom has filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of College of the Ozarks. The ADF senior counsel, Julie Marie Blake, said in a statement, quote, "The government cannot and should not force schools to open girls' dorms to males based on its politically motivated and inappropriate redefinition of sex." And yet it is happening. And isn't it ironic that here in 21st century America, the most technologically advanced civilization in the history of Earth, one of the biggest political issues dividing this nation is, how do you tell the difference between a boy and a girl? This is a very old debate, actually, as Sharon pointed out in her presentation for the Defender Conference a couple of years ago on the goddess Inanna, who changed men into women and women into men. This was old when Moses came down the mountain. Topic number 2, the fallout from Mount Meron. A leading rabbi in Jerusalem says the Lag BaOmer celebration that I told you about Monday, the tragedy that took place there on Friday, 45 people dead, dozens more injured during a celebration of a revered second century rabbi, Shimon Bar Yochva, is, well, in his words, pagan. His comments, again, following the tragedy, given in an interview to Eretz Sheva, IsraelNationalNews.com newspaper. This took place in Mount Meron, which is a site in northern Israel where every year ultra-Orthodox Jews, Haredim, meet every year to light bonfires and celebrate Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was a student of Rabbi Akiva, who declared that Shimon Bar Kosova, or Simon Bar Kokhba, was the Messiah. He initiated a rebellion against Rome that ended badly for Jews. But Shimon Bar Yochai is renowned for having created the Zohar, which is a mystical text used in Kabbalah. Well, this rabbi, Eliyahu Ebergal, head of the rabbinical court chiefs in Jerusalem, said that the bonfires and the gathering there at Mount Moran is not something that they should be doing, but he did say that they should occupy themselves with the words of Torah and the Holy Zohar. Torah, fine. Zohar, that's a mystical text that has no basis in Scripture. I present this to you just give you a little bit of a window into the religious debates taking place inside Judaism in Israel today. They still venerate Shimon Bar Yochai and the Zohar, this mystical text that again draws Jews away from the authentic teachings of God as recorded in the Hebrew Scriptures, what we Christians call the Old Testament. Coming up, virtue signaling is all fine until it becomes inconvenient, and then out the window. I'll explain next on 5 and 10.
Call now and get the companion to the Book of Enoch Special Collection, featuring the original Book of Enoch in beautifully bound hardback edition and both of Dr. Michael Heiser's groundbreaking companion guides to the Book of Enoch, along with the shocking expose, Fallen Angels and Ancient Aliens on DVD. This is an exclusive offer for our SkyWatch television audience. Yours for a donation of $35 plus shipping and handling. Volumes 1 and 2 of the Companion Guides to Enoch unveil what most of the modern church has never heard regarding how the sin of the watchers in Enoch 6 through 16 helped frame the mission of Jesus, how the descriptions of the Antichrist, the Messiah, the end times day of the Lord, and the final judgment connect to Genesis 6 and the Nephilim. This and so much more. Plus, you will also receive on DVD the Book of Enoch, Fallen Angels and Ancient Aliens, an exclusive production with Dr. Michael Heiser regarding the blatant lies of ancient astronaut theory and the horrifying nature of fallen angels and alien abduction. This DVD is a must-have. But that's not all. You'll also receive the beautifully printed hardback edition of the original historical Book of Enoch from Defender Publishing, perfect for assisting serious researchers and students in the study of the Bible and the early age. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of $90. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Whether you've read the Book of Enoch or want to journey through it for the first time, without a doubt, you'll find the companion to the Book of Enoch Special Collection absolutely essential. Order now at SkyWatchTVStore.com or call 1-844-750-4985.
Item number one today, electric vehicles are fine until you actually need to get somewhere, which could explain why so many people are switching back to gas-powered. A new study published in the journal Nature Energy, a study conducted by University of Cal Davis researchers, found that about 20% of electric vehicle owners in California are switching back to gas because they're tired of waiting for their cars to charge back up. Recharging is a hassle. If you have a level 1 charger, which works at 120 volts, it can take almost a day to get your car charged up. A level 2 charger gets you 240 volts. A level 4 charger, available from Tesla, 480 volts. But trying to charge your Chevy Volt, for example, back up to its 300-mile range on a level 2 charger takes about 6 hours. So if you've got a level 1 charger, 12 hours to recharge your car. And again, 20% of EV owners in California finding that is just too inconvenient, and they're switching back to gas. Now, President Biden's infrastructure and jobs plan claims he's going to invest $175 billion in electric vehicles, partly through tax credits to buy them, the rest of the money for direct expense on charging stations. But they're going to have to put a lot of charging stations in to get a lot of us here in America to switch over to electric. As you can see by the map here, these areas without green lines, which is basically a lot of America, especially rural America, means there are no charging stations in those areas. And you can't tell me you're going to be able to haul 24 tons, which is the load limit on a 18-wheel tractor trailer with an electric. I know they're working on it, but that's just not going to be practical. And you're going to plow and harvest fields of corn and soybeans with electric. Ain't going to happen. It's just not. Again, all the virtue signaling's fine until it actually becomes a hassle. And then people go back to what is most convenient. The funny thing, though, is that when that other 80% of Californians who hung on to their electric vehicles figure out that there's a probably 4 in 5 chance that the electricity that they're powering their vehicles with came from natural gas or coal or nuclear power, heads explode. Well, we're looking forward to going back to Israel in October. Our plan is still to be there October 3rd through 18th. We are keeping a close eye on the travel situation there, of course. The travel ministry last week announced they are opening back up in May to people who have been vaccinated. As I mentioned at the top of this program, not really interested in doing that if it comes down to that. But we are discussing things and keeping a close eye on it. We're talking regularly with our friends at Lipkin Tours, and we will keep you posted. Israel knows they need tourism dollars. They know that Western Christians, evangelicals, make up the lion's share of their tourism dollars. And they also know that we are the most likely or the least likely to want to be vaccinated. So something we'll have to give. We will keep you posted and let you know. We plan to be on the Holy Land, God willing, sooner or later. But as of now, October 3rd through 18th, still the dates. You can find out more and reserve your place at skywatchingisrael.com. This week, Mike Heiser talks with Joe Horn, Tom Horn, and the investigative team about Volume 2 of his companion to the Book of Enoch. Why is Enoch important? Why is, references to the Messiah in the Book of Enoch? Yes, Mike explains. You'll find our broadcast schedule for the over-the-air program at skywatchtv.com/channels. You'll also find our broadcast schedule is right whenever you click the remote. You know, something like this, if you've got Apple TV, Roku, or an Amazon Fire Stick, just subscribe to our YouTube channel and add the YouTube app to your Fire Stick, and then we'll be there whenever you click the remote. You could also download our free mobile app to your smartphone or tablet. Gets you all of our video programming, plus news and the schedule of our upcoming events. All of that right on your smartphone or tablet, whether it's iOS or Android or an Amazon Kindle Fire tablet. We have links to those app stores for the free mobile app at skywatchtv.com. And every Sunday, you'll find another edition of the Gilbert House Fellowship at gilberthouse.org. That's the weekly Bible study that Sharon and I produce. I hope you join us as we go through the Bible verse by verse in chronological order, journey of discovery, and all of the archives going back to Genesis 1:1 are there for free, gilberthouse.org. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.